girls who speak Klingon, totally hot. You're listening to the Nutty Bites Podcast.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. It's time for a year in review. That's right, 2013 is ending, although you may not get this till 2014. And we're going to talk about what's happened in 2013 that was awesome. Might come up with a couple of things that were not so awesome. But let's talk about this. With me today, I have Mark the Encaffeinated One.
Hey.
And I have Tech.
Hi, I'm Tech.
All right. So we are sequestered in a cottage in the middle of nowhere, covered in snow. And what did we decide to do? We decided to turn on some microphones. And this is what you're going to get. So 2012, I remember saying, was the year of the introcast when it came to podcasts. And that's still going strong. There are still so many podcasts opening up. Starting out introcast, we've got Veronica Mars. That was a fantastic podcast. It continues to be one. I can't remember if the Dexter cast was in 2012 or 2013, but they're pretty awesome. First Contact, that's another one that's great. McKinley Cast, a Freaks and Geeks Freaks and Geeks intro cast. That's pretty awesome. And 2014 looks pretty good because we've got Briscoe County Junior intro cast opening up, and we've got a Babylon 5, the Down Below podcast opening up. So that's pretty cool. What about you guys? What have you been listening to, podcast, music, or otherwise that excited you in 2013?
I think the discovery of Welcome to Night Vale.
Oh, of course, yes.
I think that's the one that was it's the big draw for me, the big takeaway for the year. I found that, well, I didn't find it. Several other people found it and said, you really should be listening to this, Mark. Okay. And then I listened to an episode, and then 30 episodes later, I was caught up. It is a fantastic one. Look for Welcome to Night Vale out there if you like creepy stuff, Lovecraftian inspired, as well as sort of conspiracy inspired. Everything from the X-Files to Cthulhu to...
You said Twin Peaks earlier.
Twin Peaks is another great inspiration. And it's delivered, it's a very, very well delivered audio one, which it takes the format essentially of a half-hour news update from the radio station in Night Vale, the community access radio station. And it's really just one guy narrating, which is pretty amazing because it goes all over the place. And it when you think you know what's going on, they add another layer to the conspiracy. There's lots of throwbacks, so when you hear something once, you will likely hear something more about that. It'll become a permanent fixture in the town. And I just definitely fall in love with the show.
So. I first saw that on Tumblr. People were making references to Night Vale. And I remember thinking, okay, if I listen to this podcast, I'll understand what they're talking about. And then I listened to the podcast, and I'm like, nope, still don't really understand it, but I'm captivated. And yeah. I've spread it out to many people. I mean, Night Vale is fantastic. It's quirky. And it's another one of those podcasts. It's about 15 minutes long, right?
And then about a half an hour, actually. They grew a bit
longer. Feels like they go really fast.
It does.
And
they
come out monthly.
Yep.
What a brilliant idea to come out monthly. but I really enjoy it. It's very well thought out. And I love in the middle of the show, they'll say, and now the weather. And they will play one song. And it's usually a very good song.
Yeah, it's beautifully structured because they have regular features like community events and traffic update. And they're never about what they're actually about. They're always about something bizarre happening. Or, you know, there was an entire episode, for example, dedicated to the guy on the radio talking to you. Yes, you specifically. And he narrates your entire day. And he doesn't know why, but he's able to narrate your entire actions and everything you're doing right up to the point that policemen, secret police come and pick you up, and they don't know why.
Well, you know, that's the power of the microphone. I mean, I am speaking directly to you. Yes, you, sitting there in your car, listening. That's right.
I thought they moved from the car to the couch.
Well,
maybe it's a couch car.
We're time traveling here now.
Oh.
Any other podcasts that you want to mention?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
A lot of them continue to be so brilliant. I don't think I've added too many new podcasts this year. Welcome to Night Vale being a major exception. Still enjoying Tech Diff. He took quite a road around, not kind of finishing the stories he was trying to, and kind of following his meanderings from time to time. But he just did the 12 podcasts of Christmas, as he's done.
Don't spoil it. I haven't listened
years.
To them yet.
It's really interesting because it's very much a Tech Diff Kai and Chris Conroy production. These are not your average 12 Days of Christmas. These are an existential journey through the darkest pits of your soul. It's bizarre.
What is it? Sigler does sometimes, or he used to do 12 Days of Christmas as well, and he called it Siglermas, of course.
Mm.
And Paul Cooley is doing a special The Streets story for Christmas. Again, I haven't listened to any of these, so don't spoil me. I've saved them up.
I'd be remiss if I didn't also mention the 30 Days of Podcasting, Dog Days of Podcasting.
Oh, yeah. We should really talk about that.
That was done again this year, spearheaded by Craig Stepp, and mostly Craig Stepp, actually, one half of the team that does Technorama. And they did it last year. I didn't kind of jump into it. I didn't kind of have the energy. This year I decided I was going to do it. It was a 30-day challenge August. Right. Sorry,
the it was dog days when Sirius is in the sky. Yep.
Leading up to Dragon Con, and they had a phenomenal response this year. They had initially and at maximum about 16 people, really boiled down to about 10 that were doing it regularly. There was everyone from Nathan Lowell, who's done kind of a daily podcast forever, just sort of moved it over to that. But he also took breaks normally, and this time he didn't take any breaks. Craig Stepp did one. I did one. Tabs did one, which is really kind of neat. We had Justin Deal and Dave Slusher and Chuck Tomasi. A whole lot of people did
Melissa
this.
Melissa Bartel joined halfway through, and they were fantastic because she included a bunch of essays that have been blogged about in the previous year and original stuff. It was quite good.
It was a great challenge, and neat checking in with people trying to do this challenge. There's one guy who had really big ambitions. He was going to earn $1 million in 1 year. And his 30 days were all going to be about how he was progressing towards that. He only made it, I think, a dozen days in at most. And then we never heard from him again. So I wish him the best of luck, and hopefully next year he'll come back for Dog Days and tell us how he made $1 million last year. But it was a great challenge, and I'm glad I got a chance to participate this year. It was tough. But the neat thing is the tool that I used Audio Boo, that's it.
You only have 3 minutes to talk.
Exactly, and it's all built into an app on the phone, so I can literally just sit down wherever I happen to be, record my 3 minutes, and then I'm done for the day. And my 3 minutes weren't probably as entertaining as most people's were, but it still kind of kept me in the flow of doing things. And then I would do my regular episodes and my regular stuff at the radio as well. Unfortunately, I'm kind of slowed down on episodes right now, and I'm kind of behind about 6 or 8 from where I want to be if I'm going to hit the 300 target at Balticon next year. But we'll get there somehow.
I really want to do Dog Days of Podcasting next year, but I don't know how that's going to work if we're moving in August. It all depends. Well, it might
actually
work.
30 days of moving would be kind of neat.
I don't think we'll be moving for 30 days.
Maybe prepping for half of it and moving for a couple of days and then settling in. Unpacking.
But listening to everybody really inspired me. It made me want to do more little tiny segments. I haven't done that many since, but I really did enjoy it. Listening to Tabs was a lot of fun because she went to 2 different conventions in August, and so that was kind of interesting to listen to. So next year I would like to get my setup good enough so that I can just quickly do a very quick 5-minute podcast every single day for August, and that would be a fun treat, I think.
And of course, for about 5 or 6 of us, we all met at Dragon Con. We did one final kind of thing there, all of us sitting around a table kind of talking about it. So I love the fact that it changed up kind of the format, it changed up the idea. It really got back to some of the roots of podcasting, where it's not about how long it consistently is necessarily. It's about, you know, you do something and you put it out there and you put it out there for everybody to hear, and just sort of do it. I've done radio for long enough now where I'm used to having to get an hour done, has to be exactly an hour, can't be over, can't be less. I can't do certain things on radio that I can do on podcasting, and I kind of miss that. So I'm very happy to see that. And big ups to Craig Stepp, who not only was doing this, but he recommended the Audio Boo. There's another tool that they had started using, which I don't remember what the name of that one is, but he built a plugin for WordPress to make it even easier to use that particular tool as well.
Sweet.
And that tool would allow you to pre-record an intro, pre-record an outro, and so you would just upload your file and everything else would happen. It would stitch it all together and then come out with the RSS feed on the other end.
That's pretty cool. Nice. So, more listening, but not so much podcasts. There have been quite a few albums that came out this past year, and a lot of them were pretty disappointing to me.
No?
Well, the new Daft Punk came out.
Yes.
And Tech can expand on this one. It didn't feel to me like the next evolution of Daft Punk. It was very experimental. There's about 3 songs that I really like on the album, but I can listen to it. It's not my favorite.
Daft Punk made a funk album.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's a good funk album, but it's not Daft Punk, and it's not the sound of their other albums. And even their other albums, each one sounds distinctly different, but they all sound distinctively like Daft Punk. This one is still Daft Punk. It's still that weird sort of French house sound, but less and more funk and more funky guitar, and absolutely not one track you can go to a club and dance to. It's not like their other stuff. There's not a I need this in my car to drive at night to. You know, I don't have one of those slamming tracks like I did on every other album. As a giant Daft Punk fan, I am disappointed in the new album. I like it. It's in my car, but
it's not for your favorite road. It's for mellow driving.
It's like when your favorite rock guy suddenly decides he wants to do some sort of folk ballad. Folk ballad love song, and it's like, this has neither got the beat nor the tone of anything else you've done. I appreciate it, it's good quality, but can I just have the other stuff? Which is, it's one of those things that, you know, always is a problem, right? I want to have another album, just like all your other albums, and the artist is going, I've really done that already, you know?
Mm-hmm. And a couple of my, a couple other good bands did that recently in the last couple of years where, what was her name? Garbage.
Oh, yeah.
Released an album, where they seem to have completely ignored the sound that they did before. They went for a new sound, much slower, much mellower, and I didn't like it at all. The Prodigy came out with an album 2 albums ago where they let Liam Howlett into a recording studio again, and it was awful, and it was very bad, and there was not one good track on it. And then, I don't know, somebody hit him in the head or something, or he suddenly realized what his old sound was, and they did Aliens Must Die. Oh, sorry, Invaders Must Die, which is the old Prodigy sound of the late 80s and early 90s, but modernized with modern production techniques and modern sounds. But if you liked early Prodigy, you'll like Invaders Must Die.
See, this is the weird thing about Daft Punk, is the thing before this album coming out that I'd heard from them was the soundtrack to Tron, the new Tron movie.
Which is amazing.
And is much more like Daft Punk as I remember it. You know, a bit more dancey, a bit more energetic, a bit faster paced.
Inspirational almost, because the music, it swells.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's all soundtrack stuff. There's only
it
one,
is the soundtrack stuff,
there is one dancey track there, and it's the their cameo in the movie. It's when they're in the dance club. It's called D-Rezzed.
Yeah.
And now, it's great classic Daft Punk.
Did you hear the Tron 2.0 remixed album?
No.
I've mentioned that one to you before, because I think you'd like it. It's a whole bunch of the other artists remixing the Tron music more in the dance style, more in the upbeat style. So it kind of brings that back, and it feels more to me like the Daft Punk album than this current one that came out. Daft Punk was one of the ones that released it. Of course, everybody's up in arms about Arcade Fire. I'm not joining the bandwagon of hating them because they're popular. I'm just not enjoying the album as much. Mm. It's growing on me a little bit, and I've been trying. People keep telling me, oh no, listen to the album more than once, you'll get it. I heard one track this morning from the new David Bowie album, and I thought, wow, I really am not going to enjoy this album.
That was my next one, the David Bowie album. I was so excited when it came out. We got it in the station before it was in stores, so I went into the station and I listened to it. And, of course, Aaron had already reviewed it, so I couldn't even do that. And I was disappointed. I mean, had it come from another artist, I'd say, you know, that's pretty good. But because it's coming from David Bowie, and I'm a huge David Bowie fan, I was very disappointed. It just wasn't, it wasn't 11, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It just, it was very disappointing, and I was kind
of
sad.
You expect an artist of that caliber to knock your socks off. You expect to, you know, lay back in bed and listen to it 6 times in a row, and when you don't, yeah, you do get disappointed. Maybe we expect too much. Maybe this is a problem we have with our favorite artists, that we expect to have our sock blown off every time.
I think it's probably part of the problem, too, is that I feel for the artists who don't want to get pigeonholed, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, but do what you do well. and do more of that. You know, do what you do well, and you can experiment all you want, but once in a while you have to come back to that.
But there are other bands that have made that reinvention process part of their thing. I mean, Aerosmith, U2. Every U2 album doesn't sound like anything else, but they all sound like U2 albums. Everyone has a very distinct and unique sound. They reinvent themselves every album, and they're all good.
Aerosmith also is the masters of reinvention because they have evolved as music has evolved. He's shaking his head no, but no, I believe so.
I think the Rolling Stones are a better example of that in a way, where they wanted to be a blues band when they started.
Yeah.
And covering all the Delta blues, and they decided, you know what, we're pretty good at this rock and roll stuff. Let's give that a try. How about some posing stuff? How about we throw a little rap in there? What else can we do?
But see, the Rolling Stones, I only have half of their career in living memory, whereas Aerosmith, I have most of their career in living memory, so I'm going to hearken to Aerosmith.
You know, I gotta say too that while we're kind of harping on releases we didn't like this year, for the local area, for Fredericton area artists and New Brunswick and the Maritimes in general, it was a great year. There was a lot of releases. Every other week there was a release, if not every week during the summer, there was a release of a new album. And I got to say, that was really gratifying because I've met all these folks, and I'm glad to see new material coming out from all these folks. And almost all of it was fantastic. And to me, it overshadowed all these big, massive releases by people. That's where I looked for the better music this time, was not from the people I would have expected from all the time. Instead, it's from the people that I've met and kind of, you're not sure how well they're going to do.
Yeah, I can't remember. There were quite a few albums that came out from artists that I was a big fan of that I was very disappointed in. And so when the Creepshow album came out, I was really scared. And I like almost every track on that album. I don't remember the name of the album, though. Do you?
Not offhand, no. The funny thing about the Creepshow is they changed their lineup pretty much between every album. Not the entire lineup. Usually the singer and one other person will kind of be in and out. In this case, it was the first album with the new singer that they just got, who replaced the previous singer who went on, I can't remember if she went on to, for, whether it was child, to having a child, or was it for having another band? Same thing, really. But yeah, I haven't listened to the whole album yet. I'm kind of curious, too.
That was pretty good. Nostalgia, Ditch by Kate's album, was pretty good, too, I think.
I haven't heard that one yet.
You haven't heard it?
No.
I've played it on the radio. I really liked it. I don't really know how far to expand. It feels like the whole album is like one piece, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So there's not one particular song that I can pick out. Although if you give me a list, I know which one I play on the radio. But I don't remember the titles because I stink at that. But yeah, any other music that's come out this year or that you've discovered this year?
No, you know, my music tastes are bland and generic. They're not, but I have recently rediscovered German minimalist techno, and I'm diving my way through artists like Bukashade and Mandy, and that's an acronym.
And there's that South African band that we discovered this year.
Ziyantwoord.
That one.
Nothing of theirs can ever be played on the radio, but gosh darn it, aren't they great?
I think I did manage to get most of I Think You Freaky.
I Think You Freaky.
And I like it a lot.
That was, you know what, here's your weird crossover moment. Having Nathan Lowell talking about Ziyantwoord and singing along and frightening his kids.
That's funny.
To kind of go on a side note, because I listen to Nathan Lowell's daily podcast. It's really cool to music, but it's surprising.
He talks on the morning walk.
Yeah, and it's surprising what you find out about him, because his big energetic first hour, because he doesn't, or half hour rather, before he does this one, he puts on some sort of streaming music service, and he has like a Lady Gaga channel, and he has like or a Ziyantwoord channel to get him energized to walk. And I'm just thinking, really? It just doesn't strike me. And he starts talking about how he loves romance novels, and it's like, really? Yeah. I learned more about this guy than I think I wanted to know. but Ziyantwoord, I think I discovered them last year. I'm not sure actually. I obviously love the album. They put a new one this year. Can't remember the name, but it has a dollar sign S in the name somewhere.
Whoever their visual designer that does their videos.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Because they are weird. They are bizarre. They are dark and weird.
But if you see interviews with them, they're actually just these really nice guys. they are kind of weird, but they're people I could probably sit down and have a beer with.
The movement, the cultural movement they're a part of in South Africa, they call Zef.
Yeah.
Which is like a chav, but positive, where a chav is someone who is dressing above his station, but a Zef is someone who's dressing above his station. You know, it's you're trying to better yourself through your clothing, through your attitude, through the music you listen to, through the everything. You're a Zef. And so a chav is a pretender, a fake, a poser.
Mm. Well, and a chav is generally seen as they may dress or try to dress above their station, but then they often have a very poor or violent attitude.
Yeah, but a zef, as violent as they may be sometimes, they it's about, you know, bettering yourself and bettering your social standing through your behavior, through your clothing, through the music you listen to. And D'Antwoord are the ambassadors of the Zef movement to those of us who don't live in South Africa.
Although they are quite scary sometimes and kind of purposely so. You can see how much fun they're having with that too, because they have like DJ High Tech in the background. He's always wearing a mask, usually a creepy mask. And then you have
the guy with the bad teeth, covered in tattoos, never has a shirt on, dancing very bizarrely, named the Ninja.
And then you have Julie Nisser, I think it is. Is the little tiny blonde who I would run in fear from just because she's so intense in the way that she looks at things.
The one that looks like Evie?
Yeah, definitely small, ninja-like, but kind of in your face at the same time. And when she sings and raps and stuff, it's like, holy crap, she is really hardcore.
How does she talk that fast, too? That's just crazy.
Oh, speaking of that, I got to show you guys the new Eminem song. Now, I'm not a huge Eminem fan. I appreciate what he's done. But the new Rap God song.
Oh, Rap God's awesome.
That was interesting because you were telling us about it, and there was a lyric in question that you weren't sure about. So we were out at a pub. I look up the lyric, and then I read through the whole song. It probably took me like 20 minutes to a half hour to do.
It was the most monotone, bland version of Eminem I'll ever hear.
It was actually kind of funny trying to figure out what he was saying. He went from pun to pun, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. And there were some lyrics where you had to sit there and go, huh. And then we came back to the house and we watched the video.
Which is amazing. Just as a video alone.
Doberman pinch yourself, you're dreaming?
Yes.
No, it's like, you're a poodle, I'm a Doberman, pinch yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like, just without even stopping, right?
Yeah,
there.
And he talked so fast. And of course, the video was like, I don't know, 5 minutes, 7 minutes long. And he got all those words in.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's amazing.
It's nonstop. I don't know when he breathes. I really don't.
Yeah. Still not sure I understand where he's coming from all of the lyrics, but I think seeing him do it, I can kind of understand, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not a huge Eminem fan. I have appreciated some of the songs. Some of the songs are really catchy, and I've heard those and enjoyed those. You gotta Move Yourself was one of those anthems he did a few years ago.
Oh, yes.
That's what kind of made him the biggest one. Was that?
Stan.
Stan was a good one, too. That's the one with he's talking back and forth between him and one of his fans through letters, and in the back you've got Dido singing.
I don't think I've seen that one, actually. I've heard it.
Oh, it's very good. We'll have to listen to that.
It launched the career of Dido in North America, who is an incredibly gifted English singer.
Nice.
And
Irish. My Irish fans are gonna be yelling at me if I don't correct that.
Irish. But
there you go, FaZe.
But that was one of the, I've heard a couple of other songs from the album, and I might actually pick up an Eminem album. I don't own any Eminem otherwise, but I've got to say the energy and the skill is so much on display, and that would be the kind of thing that I would listen to as I try to do some walking this year, which I'm hoping to do. The other thing I'm hoping to listen to, which is not music, but it is audio, is I'm picking up some of the Big Finish audio Doctor Who stuff.
Ooh.
Because certainly one of the biggest things this year was Doctor Who, the 50th anniversary year. The two people I have with me have not caught up on the shows yet, so it was kind of annoying.
We saw the Christmas special.
But you did watch the Christmas special, and you saw the 50th anniversary.
And they were both fantastic.
Yes.
The best thing of everything with the 50th anniversary was that docudrama of the life and times of William Hartnell.
Yeah, I think it's called Travel, or A Travel Through Space and Time, I think it's called.
Yes. It's a docudrama of the first Doctor and how Doctor Who started. And the actor playing, what is his name?
William Hartnell.
William Hartnell. is the actor who you may know playing Argus Filch in Harry Potter or Walder Frey in Game of Thrones. And he is fantastic. He embodies the character.
Yeah, I thought that...
The actor.
The set around it, everything is picture perfect in terms of capturing the age and capturing the feeling of it. And I can't help but think, though, that some of the writing was influenced by some of the writing of the modern Doctor Who.
Mm.
Because there's a point in which, it's not really a spoiler, but there's a point in which he has to give up doing Doctor Who, and he doesn't want to. And breaks out emotionally. It's just, I don't want to go, which is exactly what one of the doctors said earlier in his regenerations. And it was those
Tennant. The actor's name is David Bradley, by the way.
David Bradley?
Yes.
And then he said it in the 50th special.
Yep.
Because he says, I don't want to go. He always says that.
And the 50th anniversary special to me was one that sent goosebumps. I've been a Doctor Who fan since I was a kid. Since I was watching them, MPBN television used to broadcast on Saturdays. They took all of a season's episodes, they clipped them all together, and they made one long, 2.5, sometimes 3-hour long episode. So that's how I experienced Doctor Who, is this is what my Saturday afternoon is like. Just sit down in front of the TV and watch, and you see a whole story. So I've watched it from a long time, and this 50th anniversary captured it so well. And it's a great homage to the whole 50-year legacy of Doctor Who.
Fred, do you want to explain your introduction to Doctor Who? Because I love when you tell this story. When you were a kid.
Oh.
Cruising through the channels after school, and then you hear the strains of the world's most beautiful theme music start playing, which when I was, what, 7, scared the pants off of me. I could not watch that show because it was the black and white ones. And that music is creepy and weird and freaky, and I changed the channel right away. And then the next day the music would come on and I'd listen to it a little bit more than I changed the channel because I couldn't watch the show. I mean, if the music is that scary, you know the show is going to be even worse. And then there was these weird robots with like whisks and plungers that yell exterminate and very, very scary. And then I watched a couple, I made it through a couple of episodes and I had no idea what was going on, but I loved the music. And then it was years later at a rave that somebody was playing
Orbitals. Wasn't there something in the show that scared you too?
Yeah, the Daleks are creepy as hell.
Yeah.
But it was years later when Orbital did the remix of the Prodigy theme. The Orbital did the mix of the Doctor Who theme.
Mm.
And then I rediscovered the music, and then the new shows started coming out, and I started watching them again, and have become a second wave Whovian.
Mm.
Sorry, hipsters, I wasn't there originally.
I remember growing up, I had heard of Doctor Who, but never really watched it. I think I may have heard the audio of some of the early seasons, but... just gotten that out from my library, didn't really associate it with Doctor Who. And I remember going into the chat room where I met Tech for the first time, and it was a Star Trek chat room, and there were people that would talk about Doctor Who, and I'd say, I'm a geek, but I'm not like a crazy full-on geek. I don't watch Doctor Who or anything, because that was another level of geek. And I remember Twiggy and Robin just going crazy over Doctor Who, and I was like, yeah, that's not my thing. I listened to a couple of the audio dramas, and then the new Who came out, and I watched some of that, and then I tried to watch some of the older stuff, but the older stuff is hard to get. So yes, I am a new Whovian, but I do enjoy the older stuff, I'm now definitely a Whovian. Well, I've been converted.
It's interesting you mentioned the music, too, because within that special, I like the fact that they give it's only like a 10-second scene. Mm-hmm. And they kind of cut the scene up and interplay with some other actions happening as they play you the theme, and they show the person's working on it in the legendary BBC Radiophonic Orchestra, which is like 3 people. and they say, well, how did you get the sound of the TARDIS? Oh, well, he was brilliant. He took, he took his keys to this rusty old piano wire. And that's, of course, a classic story about Doctor Who. This year, and I'll bring it back to music slightly, I have the Daphniorum tapes, and I have, I think, 2 or 3 other of the classic Doctor Who soundtrack, their CD collections of those. So I have like all the incidental music from a couple of the episodes. It could be only 30 seconds long, sadly. But if you put it all together and you put it in a CD, it makes fantastic background music as you kind of make your whole day a Doctor Who day. By suddenly everything is taking on that.
We played that at our place during a game.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did.
That entire experimental soundtrack. That was a really wicked album.
Yeah, and it's I've got more of them than I'm going to be picking up, but there's like the BBC Radiophonic Doctor Who Volume 1 and Volume 2, and they cover, I think, 15 years each. And unlike the modern ones, they didn't do full suites because they were never going to use it. So you know, they're only like 30 seconds long, etc., a minute and a half sometimes, 2 minutes if they're background of a scene. I'd previously picked up, I don't even know where I found these, but I found these full episode soundtracks for, I think it was the Sea Devils. And it was that entire episode, just that episode, when they were starting to do more and more music per episode. It's fantastic. So, Doctor Who, biggest thing. Now, you mentioned New Whovians, and this is the thing I'm worried about, is they've been going younger and younger with the Doctors, and that's been appealing to a whole new audience who are kind of finding them sexy and cute and, reachable, if you will, by this young New Whovian audience. And now they have the new guy. And the new guy is 50-something, and he's not young, and he's not, well, I mean, he's, I guess, could be considered handsome, but he's not necessarily going to be handsome to the new 14-year-old Whovian fans.
He's Tumblr sexy. He'll survive. He's Tumblr sexy.
So I'm a little bit worried that there's going to be a drop-off in support for the show, but after seeing that special we saw, and even the Who Is Matt Smith, farewell to him, I want to see one of those done about each of the Doctors. I want to see a Patrick Troughton one. I want to see a Pertwee one, a Tom Baker, all of them. I want to see them all done like that way.
Or done as dramatization like we saw.
No, exactly. That's what I want to see.
Oh, yeah.
This is where I have faith in the Whovians, and I have faith.
That's a Freudian slip there. Really.
I have faith in geek culture, in that sex appeal to a geek knows no age and knows no boundaries, because look at Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah.
William Frakes, Commander Riker, was not the sex symbol the producers wanted him to be. Patrick Stewart, the old bald captain, ended up being the sex god show.
He was French and spoke with a British accent. How could you not go wrong with
Absolutely.
That?
But, I mean, even to this day, Patrick Stewart is in his 70s and is still revered around the world by everyone for being the utter rock god that he is. And what happened to William Frakes? Take that.
Jonathan Frakes?
Actually, Jonathan Frakes has become a director. That's kind of what... You never see him in front of the screen
but
anymore.
But if you look at him side by side with Patrick Stewart, Patrick Stewart looks better than he did in TNG.
Well, especially early TNG before he got the beard. Because the beard resized his eyes.
I'm talking about Patrick Stewart is looking better.
No, I know. But but Jonathan Frakes, when he first started in TNG in that first season, the collarless season... he didn't have he was clean shaven, and his eyes just looked completely out of proportion to his face. And mostly was the
wrong. He had too much hair. After he got a haircut and grew the beard.
Yeah, and it partially was the way they were doing makeup too. They had they really emphasized his eyes for some reason.
But men in skirts.
Hey, I like the manny skirts. Shush.
Yeah, I don't care one way.
But getting back to sex appeal and the Doctor. It's the character that's sexy. Because honestly, look at Matt Smith. If you take Matt Smith away from the Doctor, he's not sexy.
Well,
but being the Doctor made him sexy. And I know a lot of people who stopped watching Doctor Who because they couldn't stand Matt Smith.
They were saying that before the first episode even aired.
Yeah.
That as soon as it wasn't their little Scottish hot boy anymore, they all got very, very mad and they all rage quit.
Well,
but
not just people that are attracted to men had the same reaction. Jack Ward, I believe, just stopped watching. He eventually went back to watch some Matt Smith, but he just couldn't take Matt Smith.
Yeah, I've heard that from a number of people, that Matt Smith, there was something about the way he looked, or he was too young or too silly. He grew on everybody. I would have watched it because it was Doctor Who.
Yeah.
One thing that's interesting, though, is one thing I hope they're going to get away from is the plot line they've been using. Because they've had younger Doctors, they've moved into the romance plot line. But then there becomes a romance plot line with every female companion he potentially has. Even Donna, even though they tried not to and they said it was not going to happen, there was still a little bit of that going on.
No, that was like a bromance. That was just mates. They were just friends.
They went directly into the bromance, which I'm happy to see. But still, they played around with the beginning. And
this is one of the many reasons Donna is awesome.
But I'm hoping that...
So Audacity does not want to hear any more about Doctor Who.
That's probably fair enough.
Because we've talked too much about it. I think you wanted to say that you're tired of the companion being magical and you just want a regular companion, and I agree with that. But we're going to move on. books. What are some of the great books that you have read over this past year?
I started out this year really trying to push on reading and catch up on some of the reading. So I was reading about a new book every 2 weeks. And I went through some of the classics. I went through 2001, Space Odyssey. I went through, what else did I read about that time? There's a couple others anywhere around that time. They were all classics pulled out of my library. I have a vast number of old science fiction books, so I'm currently trying to get through Dune, and that was after having finished the second of the Ministry of Peculiar Currents' novel, The Janus Affair by T. Morrison and Pip Ballantyne, which I really, really enjoyed, and I kind of thought, great, I'll go get the third one now, and realized, oh, the third one's not out until next year. Oh. On my phone, waiting for me to finish Slaughterhouse-5.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The next book I have lined up on there is the In Vitro Rex, which is Brian Gamblin's sequel to
Hidden Institute.
Hidden Institute, yeah.
Which he's giving away free on his website.
No, I've already read the first one, and I own the book.
No, I meant In Vitro Rex.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's been publishing it on his website. So as he writes it, it goes there.
Well, I went and bought the book. Because it's done.
Well, good.
I tried to buy my way into a character in the book, but that didn't happen. Because he had a Kickstarter earlier in the year for that, and I was the second person to back the Kickstarter at a level high enough to get a character in. And then the Kickstarter didn't quite pull together, and then he finished the book anyway.
That's the one thing I want to say about 2013 is that this is the year of Kickstarter.
Oh, God.
I was going to get there.
Crowdfunding. Well, too bad I beat you. It is the year of crowdfunding, and
yes. In
everything from large mega movie projects that get funded the Veronica Mars project, to smaller things, to games, to cards, to books, to movies, to play sets, to anything you can imagine.
Miniatures.
It's out there, and miniatures.
So many miniatures.
But it's... You know, we've known Kickstarter's been around, and Indiegogo and the other crowdfunding sites have been there for a long time, but it seems that this year, they've bit mainstream, and it's now become a viable alternative to funding. I mean, Stompy Robot Productions, who's trying to come out with the Heavy Gear MMO video game, instead of finding a big publisher, instead of finding another avenue, immediately started, like, their whole basis for their funding was... to try crowdfunding.
Yeah.
That was their number one go-to source. It didn't work. They failed at their Kickstarter. And now they have an open donate button on their website. Please check out the Heavy Gear MMO. I want to play this. You can go to their website and they have a donate button and they have a goal. Once they reach $800,000, they'll make the game. I want to play this game, people. Go give them your monies.
And Kickstarter opened for Canadian.
Yes, it did.
People now can do it.
And I actually backed a Kickstarter almost in my backyard here. A little free lending library, outdoor library. Anybody can drop a book off and anybody can borrow a book from that. I have spent so much on Kickstarter, I do not want to add it up this year because I know that it's well over $3,000, I think, this year.
Ooh.
And I don't know why. Well, I don't know why because I'm a sucker.
It's addictive.
It is addictive. It's great because you get to see a chance. You get to say, I want this to happen. And it is the old meme. I want this to happen. How do I throw my money at you? Oh,
take
this is how.
Take my money already.
Take my money. Well, yeah, here you go. This is an easy way to do it.
I get a lot of my Kickstarter rewards shipped to my sister in the U.S. because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Kickstarter just automatically has, you know, add $10 for shipping. It was especially funny when I backed the Mask of the Red Panda Kickstarter because this was before it was available in Canada. And so he had to partner up with somebody in the United States. So if I wanted it shipped to Canada, I'd have to pay $10 extra, so I had it shipped to my sister's. When I got there, it was shipped from Toronto. So it would have been cheaper to just send it to me directly.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. When I go to my sister's, it's like Christmas, because I have all of these rewards. And she just fills the guest room dresser with all of my rewards, and it's a lot of fun. But if you've listened to Nettie Bites, you've heard we've had a bunch of people on talking about their various Kickstarters, and some of them have worked, or Indiegogo or Pledge Music. Some of them have worked, some of them have not. Some of them have worked so well that they ran out of stretch goals, which is fantastic.
So I know I've backed everything under the sun. How about you guys? Have you backed a lot of things, or have you almost backed things, or was there one you backed that didn't make it that you really wanted to?
There was in my own little world, there's a somebody that is making a force feedback yoke for flight simulators, and it's a great project. It's the only one on the market. There's nothing else like it. It's a small cottage industry out in BC that is making these wonderful actuators so that when you're flying your computer airplane, the thing will bump and judder and shake in your hands and respond to the forces realistically. But the buy-in to get one is $550.
Yeah.
And they assume that they... Well, their guess right now is that the retail version will sell for at least $800, if not more. Now, that does come with a free Arduino and a free Raspberry Pi that are removable and can be used for your other projects. So that's kind of cool. The Raspberry Pis are always useful, but not an edible Raspberry Pi. It's a small computer. Look them up. They're cool. But I really wanted to back it. I really wanted to be involved. I really wouldn't mind a yoke. Not for $550. I mean, the technology is expensive. I get it, but...
See, I got to hold off for next year, because I'm almost approaching the level where $500? Yeah, I can do that. Because I did a $300 Kickstarter this year, and actually I did two. One was $280, the other one was $300. I got really into minis this year, and the $300 one was actually sort of the front of the front. We went to HalCon this year, and I was talking to one of the guys who was starting up a Kickstarter there. I did back his to about $50 level. But then he said his friend was also starting one. It's out of Halifax. So for once, I don't have to pay big shipping. And it was all these little miniature terrain pieces, basically for dungeons or for caverns. And then all these miniature pieces to go with it, all the dressing. And so what I bought, I backed was like the level to get three of the main things and then a whole bunch of accessories because they look really, really fine quality. So that's probably the highest I should ever go, and I shouldn't really do that many. But the thing is, a lot of friends are doing Kickstarters. I backed, like I said, Brand Gamblin's. I backed the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. They did an RPG this year, which also had a book of fiction as well attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a number of little smaller RPGs that I backed because I knew that people that I knew they're working on them. There were bigger ones. We talked to what was his name, Monty Cook. And I backed two of his RPGs this year. He did Numenera this year, and he did The Strange. And both of those are fascinating projects. So my problem, it's funny, because they always say with Kickstarter, don't consider it like a marketplace, because you don't know if things are going to happen and deliver. And some things that I have been waiting for now a year haven't come in yet, but they're soon to. But I've been really pleased otherwise. And now there's interesting things where they do crossovers. You back this Kickstarter and this Kickstarter, and you get an extra award.
Yeah.
So that's
I've only been burned, I think, once or twice. And the one burn was not at the fault of the person who set up the Kickstarter. It was his development team quit afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
They all got better jobs. And he couldn't do it without the development team. So he went and he found somebody else to employ him so that you automatically got what you were supposed to get or close to what you were supposed to get. You got stuff through this company that bought him out, but it was unfortunate. But I've heard some people who have been burned many, many times, which is kind of sad. Now, you talk about all the Kickstarters that you're backing. We've got gambling addicts and support groups for that. Are we going to have to come up with a Kickstarter support group to stop people from being addicted? Because I understand it's very addictive.
No, you can put a Kickstarter up to start one.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, I'll start that.
I was going to start a Kickstarter to support my habit.
Well, I give myself personal rules. Last year, the rule was anything that has made their goal, I do not back. Because they made their goal, and this way I can support other projects. This year, I had to break that rule. Because some of the stretch goals were so amazing. And I wanted in. And they and the other thing is, a lot of places, like for instance, the Big Damn Films, they're doing Zombie Con the movie. For $5, you get the movie. You know, the Kickstarters that give you the product at a very low entry level, you can't help but want to get in on that. And then you have the ones where you back a stretch goal, or you back a reward thing, and then you get all these freebie stretch goals, like the Shane Tyree one, where it was the Cthulhu playing cards and tarot cards, where as they opened up more and more stretch goals, I got more stuff. So you couldn't help but back it and then share it. And this, so it's a little, I've backed a lot more Kickstarters than I meant to because I'm broke.
This is where the Bones one, was it Grim Reaper Miniatures, I think it was? Did the Bones last year, did Bones 2 this year, and they are masters of this. Because what they do is they have all these different sets you can buy in the base set, and as they go through goals, they add more and more to each of the base sets. So they all become sweeter deals. And so you go, well, now I really want to buy in, because now there's more stuff there. This is what happened with me in this one that's in Halifax, is every single one of the sets got extra pieces. And they added extra pieces to the potential sets you could get. And they added extra sets as well. Mm. It was just a brilliant idea. And I kept going, like, geez, I want that set, too. And geez, I want that one, too. Oh, no. And then it's like, oh, they just added these great miniatures. Oh, man, I really want those.
There was one that I saw. It was these beautiful resin miniatures. And it was all, it was a board game, but it was all the characters were done in an anime style, but they were all beautifully crafted in, you know, 3D resin. But the models were so gorgeous, and they were adding so many stretch goals. Well, for $7 more, I can get this whole new army, and for $3 more, you can get all of this. And they had these wonderful sets of miniatures that you could get. But they're so beautiful, I know my painting is nowhere near good enough. I could never do them justice. I'd have to leave them unpainted, and then they'd just tease me on the shelf for years. I just couldn't do it, because they're too nice to paint.
This is this is my problem now, because I've never really painted miniatures, so I'm trying to get through them. The ones I didn't do this, I probably should have. I'm probably kicking myself, because this one I'm mentioning, the one that had the furniture and stuff, you could pay $35, get you one of the sets, add $35, and it came as a painted set.
Ooh.
And with any of the atmospheric ones, there was also options like, oh, you want that as a mossy wall, you want this as a snowy wall, you want this as a muddy wall, and they would add those features on top of it.
Cool.
So you're talking about some professional painters. I don't know. I think they're going to employ all the professional painters to fulfill the the goals that they got, because they were way over what they were initially trying for. I don't go to that same rule that you do, Nutty, the idea that if it's already backed, I won't back it. In some ways, I actually wait until I know that it's fairly close or going to be backed, so I know that I'm going to get what I'm looking for. But
there's nothing like that Kickstarter disappointment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's so many projects that went, I would back this, but what would be the point? Because you're asking for $100,000, you've got $500, and it's only 10 days to the end. Although, I did see one recently. There was a video game called Reset on Indiegogo, and they were at 50% of their goal with 10 days left.
Mm.
They went through their first stretch goal by the time it was done.
Nice.
They had a $45,000 strut in 10 days, which
fantastic.
Is amazing. So it can happen, and I would keep kicking myself, like, what kind of Kickstarter am I going to do? Because I'd like to be creative. I'd like to be paid for it, and this is one great way for creatives to actually get some money out of it. And I'm kind of kicking myself when I see friends who do Kickstarters, and I'm really kind of disappointed with the structure they've done and how much they didn't put into it as far as energy. And it's like, no wonder you failed. You didn't do anything for this Kickstarter.
Yeah. I want another Matthew and Jack book to come out. That's the next Kickstarter I want.
Which one's that?
Matthew and Jack. It's Tabs' children's books with the cats. I've got
two
of them with the cats, and then I've got Mary Lou's a Star. But I want more of those cat books. My nieces and nephews just love them.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's there's been a lot of people kind of moving into podcasting and kind of the big professional players moving into it and kind of taking over. And there's a lot of question about whether the amateur are still going to be able to do things. Now they can, but whether they can attract enough attention to be an audience, whatever. And where I'm going with this is that in Kickstarter, it's still the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a creative person and you've not been able to get that big market, this is your chance. And in many cases, I think it's created, and sometimes problematically, created big markets for people that they didn't know they could ever reach. And just the overwhelming expectations. As long as you keep your expectations and your needs realistic, you tend to do fairly well.
Well, who was the recording artist, some writer's wife, that said that if they
made a
certain, if she made a certain amount of money to back the album, she'd pose nude in photographs and then gangbusters millions of dollars later.
Oh yeah.
Well, that wasn't the only reason that Kickstarter succeeded.
No,
I actually backed that Kickstarter as well myself.
Mm.
The album is actually really, really good. It was Amanda Palmer, who's married to
Neil Gaiman,
and they did a whole bunch of work. Actually, she did like I think 20 concerts after that to help promote that as well.
Well, and I believe, and I could be wrong, The way that she had organized it was that a lot of the musicians she'd be playing with on this tour, they were donating their skills so that she could do the tour. But because it was such a success, she actually was able to pay them. It wasn't the professional rate, but she was able to give each of those stops, each of those musicians, some money, which was fantastic.
Mark, I like what you're saying about, you know, Kickstarter is the Wild West, and it is, and because there's no one way to do it yet, and you you can make your rewards anything, and the there are some people that are really doing it by the more cash I get, the more loot I'll give out, the more projects I'll do, or I'll add extra tracks to the album, or know the stretch goals. There's a Kickstarter. There's an artist named Max Uriarte. He has the world's most popular military webcomic called Terminal Lance, and he was working on his graphic novel El Burro Blanco. That's the white donkey in Spanish. and to get the funding, he did a Kickstarter, and the $5,000 reward for his Kickstarter was that he would come to your hometown and he would let you punch him in the nuts on video to show all of your friends that you got to sack tap Max, and then he'd buy you a beer afterwards. So the rewards can be anything. Oh, and he sold that reward level too. I mean,
I can't wait to see that
video. I can't wait to see the video of Max getting in the nuts. But
the upper ones are often, you know, you will become grand poobah producer, and we'll screen the movie in your living room, or we'll play a game with you, or you get a story written just for you.
Paul and Storm, their ultimate stretch goal is, what is it, if they raise, I think it's like $300,000, that they will have a guacamole and ice cream truck tour of the United States, although we said that they should come to Canada and that we would paint their van like the 18 van.
That's pretty sweet.
Yes, we would.
That's pretty sweet.
Yes, we would.
Yeah. So what else 2014 or 2013?
So 2013 books. One thing I need to mention is that I believe it was the All Pro that came out this year from Sigler.
Still sitting on the shelf, still teasing me.
Yes, it is teasing you, and you need to read it. It is, wow. You know, this fantasy of intergalactic football 500 years in the future went from fun to, oh, fun, that's kind of deep, to, oh my God, this is serious. This is some hard sci-fi going on right now.
Yeah, I'm a little worried, though, because he's getting into George Martin territory, where I like a character on one page, and then he's dead in the next one, and damn you, Scott.
Well, he is a big fan of George's.
Yeah, I know. Damn you, Scott.
And it's funny you mention that, because you haven't read Nocturnal yet, either. Nocturnal is written from different perspectives, points of view, and he got that idea from George R. R. Martin as well. But the All Pro was like, wow, amazing. And I am speaking as somebody who does not like football. Watching a football game, shoot me in the head. Super Bowl parties, okay, I'm gonna be over with the nachos playing card games. You guys have fun watching the football game. Don't care. But these books are interesting, and the football action, I actually understand the game now. I had a lot of fun with that. I've been going back and reading a lot of the Sherlock Holmes books because of Through the Pages of Sherlock Holmes. That's another intro cast, but it's for the books. Been reading along with them and having so much fun rediscovering it. I've always been a Sherlockian and just absolutely loving that. I have so many books that I need to read, but I keep going back to Sherlock. Tech, any books?
I have so many books sitting on the shelf, staring at me, laughing at me. I've been doing a lot of reading this year, but sadly it's all been, well, not sadly, it's been great for me, but it's all been nonfiction, it's all been science related. I've been reading a lot of stuff on astronomy, I've been reading a lot of things on physics, ballistics, just things to increase.
Moons, planets,
yeah, all
stars.
The astronomy stuff. I've been reading all that stuff, and I've been loving it. And I've been loving, you know, learning all this great stuff. And it's taken up all my free reading time. So sadly, I wish there was. I wish for another year to read all this fiction that's sitting on the shelf, laughing at me. Sorry, Scott. But on the note of Scott Sigler and his books. I have a Kraken's jersey, like an authentic orange, you know, number 26 jersey, that every time I see Scott Sigler, I've gotten him to autograph as a different player. So I now have the jersey covered in autographs. Some of them are dead, some of them are alive. A even signed as Becca the Recca on one of my shoulders. I got him to sign as a tentacled alien. So it says, love, 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 Denver. on the other shoulder.
Oh, Denver.
But I asked him on Twitter, how would a key lineman, an eight-legged, you know, six-eyed, 800-pound, guttural, growling alien, how would they autograph the jersey for a fan? And Scott responded very quickly that, oh, they would probably take a little bite out of it. So challenge accepted, Scott. The next time I see you, you are signing my jersey as Momo Kaloi. If for nothing else, with a photo of him trying to chew through the sleeve of my jersey will be hilarious.
That will be fantastic.
So, speaking of meeting in person, this year for me was also the year of cons.
Oh, yes.
Not only did I go to Balticon, which I've been happy to go to several years in a row and have before, there was also a local. We had in Maritimes, which came to Fredericton this year.
You two got to go to, and I didn't.
Yeah. And I didn't have any sort of costume involved. I know that... Tech, you had your Clockwork Doctor costume out and
of course.
Turned a lot of heads and a lot were jerking their heads around going, what the hell was that thing? but it was nice. It was good to see it in Fredericton. It had a very good turnout. It's coming back to Fredericton next year.
You had the guest of honor hold the door for you.
Who was a very very entertaining, too. It was a voice actor, which was something I'm interested in. It was very encouraging to see so many people there. It was very young, though. I did feel very, very old there. And I kind of wanted to see more representation kind of my age and my interests as well. But I'm happy to see what it was. I'm happy to have it there.
But having a con for the youth and seeing such a huge turnout in young numbers is encouraging for the scene.
Absolutely.
So...
We need young people to do this. Absolutely. Otherwise, it'll end up dying.
Yep.
Like cons used to do.
Well, and Fredericton Gaming Expo, I didn't make it to that one. It was away that weekend. That was one all about video games that came to Fredericton this year. It used to be in St. John a couple of times. That was very encouraging. Next year, speaking of cons that have gone and coming back, the NBCon Gaming Convention is coming back this next year. I know the folks who are organizing that, so I'm looking forward to that. I also had a chance to go to Dragon Con this year, so I took that chance and went. It was a lot of fun. I'm already planning to go back next year, trying to figure out how to get the hotel room at the right rate and all that sort of thing. I'd love to go back to Gen Con again. I haven't gone to that one in a long time.
That sounds... I've always heard of Gen Con. I'm like, that sounds great. I think I might be a bit overwhelmed. And then I heard Tabs talking about it on her Dog Days of Quack podcasting, and I never wanted to go to Gen Con more. I really would love to go to Gen Con now.
I want to go to Gen Con with Tabs, though, because she always seems to make all those connections. I went to the NCRC convention as well this year, which is for radio, National Campus and Community Radio Conference, which was in Winnipeg this year. So first time out to Winnipeg, that was kind of fun. And it just kind of opened my eyes to I want to travel a bit more and do some more of that in 2014. So I know at least
and
two
Halcon.
Cons. And Halcon, yeah.
You went to Halcon. This was your first year at Halcon.
First time in Halcon, and only half of Halcon did I get a chance to see.
Yeah, we were locked out for a while. They were over capacity.
And we kind of went as press as well, so we had behind-the-scenes opportunities to talk to some folks. Hopefully we'll produce those interviews at some point if the audio is good enough.
Well, I'm going to be putting them into the feed.
Okay.
We've got interviews coming up with Robert J. Sawyer. We have interviews coming up with Monty Cook and Lard D'Souza.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun doing that. And it was nice, again, encouraging to see the real interest in the crowds. I mean, they had a bit of a problem when they got over capacity, but that also is what a great problem to have.
Very encouraging.
Yeah, exactly.
But they have now outgrown every venue in the city of Halifax.
Yeah, this was
to come up with a better plan.
Well, this is the not the convention center. It's even bigger than that. It's the World Trade Center that they have there, and they had the building more than capacity. That's amazing. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm seeing a lot of growth in cons. I want to see more science fiction cons. I'd like to get to a few more. I'm hoping more people that I know are going to be coming out. I know that, for example, Mainframe is coming to Balticon this year.
No way. Really?
I believe so.
And, that's awesome. I can't wait to see you there, Richard.
So it's a one example of where it's like, great, now I get to see even more people I've seen before.
Now we got to get Treed there, too.
Get the whole gang back together. Yeah. And if we can get T and Pip back to Balticon again, I'd love to see that. But
I'm hoping they will be there.
They're really working on their career, so I mean, I understand that.
No, we get it. They're better than us now. They don't want to come back.
Well, then I have to get better so I can be on that level. I can leave you guys behind.
No, they can come and slum with us.
Anytime.
Absolutely.
No, 2013 was a good year. It was a long year. In many ways, there were a lot of tough days for me. I tried academically to keep my head above water and to find my place, but going to all these cons and getting distracted by them was quite nice. And of course, there's BathCon. We did that as well.
Oh yeah, BathCon.
Right, BathCon invited you folks to come out for a long weekend.
It's a con of three people, yeah. And all we did was play games.
Kind of like Christmas, actually.
Yeah, that's pretty much what Christmas.
With less lights and a little less snow.
I do like the lights.
No, of course.
The lights are great. You should keep those up year round.
I think they're going to have to.
Yeah.
Because I'll be too lazy to take them down.
Movies. What are some of your favorite movies that you've seen this year?
That little movie called, what, The Avengers? Did that come out this year?
The Avengers was really good.
The you know, geek culture and everything is, you know, we're seeing more and more of geek culture, and we are becoming mainstream as we are the ones with the money. And you're seeing that in the movies now, that all of the movie houses are making all of these superhero movies
movie
and all
house.
Of these geek movies that are, you know, giving us what we want. So my plea to the directors and the producers for 2014 is, okay, you've seen the money is there, right? Okay, look at Avengers. Look at everything Joss and JJ and the rest of them. Look at everything they've done for geek culture. Fine. Can I get Star Trek back on TV now?
Yes. Okay. Not directed by JJ Abrams.
Okay. We've proven the fact that we are willing to spend a ridiculous sum of money to watch men in tights traipse around a screen beating up invisible monsters. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's done. So there's your market research. It's done. And don't do like you've done the last 14 times when you try to put Star Trek back on TV. We say, well, we don't want the established audience. We want to get new audience. No, you don't. You want the established audience because we have all the cash. And
we do.
And we want it. So this is my angry rant, but put Star Trek back on my TV. And not Enterprise, not Scott Bakula, not with that crummy theme song. Just give me 9 more seasons of TNG.
Well, I'm not sure that most of the mixed nutcases have heard my favorite idea of bringing Star Trek back. I want Star Trek miniseries. Give me Star Trek Kittimer. Give me Star Trek Beta Z. Give me Star Trek Rigel System. Give me a miniseries. Tell one story arc in the Star Trek universe, however many episodes it takes to tell the story.
A series of miniseries.
Yeah, a series of miniseries. And just keep telling me Star Trek. I want Star Trek stories. We're out there. We'll spend the money.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of television anymore. I've kind of moved away.
I don't have
away.
A TV signal. I would pay for Star Trek.
I mean, I watch TV on Netflix most of the time. So I'll take the full 20 episodes and you know, blow through a couple of days and watch them all. And then I won't watch anything for a while, except for Doctor Who is the only exception I made, really. I don't know. I guess I like the science fiction being in the movies. They can kind of do it. It can become an occasion. I've not been as impressed with, say, the J.J. Abrams Star Trek stuff. I've not been, you know, that hasn't really thrilled me as much as I'd hoped it would. The first movie being a bit better than the second one in some ways. The thing about the Avengers was it was great writing. It was great camaraderie, so you had good characters. Iron Man 3 came out this year, too, I believe. And
that was quite good.
That was
a great capper for that series. I thought it was a great way to tie it all back together. I'm a little concerned now that that Downey Jr. may or may not want to do the character anymore, and other things may happen.
He doesn't want to play himself anymore?
It's funny because actors kind of don't want to get typecast, but at the same time, it goes back to me when we were talking about music. Do the stuff you're good at.
Yeah.
And stretch, sure, but you already had a career to stretch with. Just play this character for a while.
It's not a character. It is him, though. Like, well, that's the thing.
It's a very natural one for him, although I don't think he has a multi-million dollar company which will fund anything he wants or a walk-in robot suit.
No, he started that all up his nose.
Can we talk about the painful part for me here? It was the scene when he's going away from the demolished house and he's driving a Bugatti Veyron, like million-dollar sports car.
The trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that hurt.
Now, was Cabin in the Woods this year, or was that last year?
Last year.
Yeah, at least last year.
Hunger Games was this year, though, right?
That's just out now, actually.
No, but the first one. I haven't seen the second one.
No, the first one is a couple years ago, I think. I saw the first one on Netflix this year, actually.
I don't remember anything, then.
I didn't go to the movies as much as I wanted to.
The Hobbit was this year.
Pacific Rim is this year.
I haven't seen that one.
The Hobbit Part 2.
The Hobbit Part 1 was this year as well, wasn't it?
No, it was at Christmas time last year.
Uh-huh.
Christmas time 2 years ago, I think.
No, it wasn't two years ago.
No, it was last year. So, because the second part's just out now. There were a bunch of movies I missed, and I can't think of them, unfortunately. I didn't see the Batman. Was that out this year? The last Batman? Yeah, like Pacific Rim was one of the ones I definitely wanted to see. I saw some of the bigger ones I could. The Superman one, I liked it. Most people don't like the Superman Man of Steel one.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Yeah, it's been a bad year for me seeing movies too in theaters. I've rented a bunch of them.
Bunch of Netflix. Oh, we should talk about Tech's first viewing of Elf.
And this is the first year that I saw Elf. Elf came out in 2003. Yeah, 2003, the year I was overseas. So I didn't see it. And it's just one of those movies that I've missed. There was a couple more that year that I've never seen again either. So after you harassing me and goading me into it, we finally watched it. And it was good. It was funny. It was awesome. It was Will Ferrell doing what Will Ferrell does, you know, be crazy and off the wall. And Zooey Deschanel is a blonde. Oh, Zooey, don't do that again. You're too pretty as a brunette.
But you liked it.
Oh, Zooey.
And what you said?
I'm sorry, my mind was off.
You said that you thought Elf was so good because it was one of the first Christmas movies that's targeted for adults.
Yeah, and that's where the humor worked. That it was a Christmas movie that they didn't make as a kids movie, and it wasn't, you know, trying to. There was very adult humor in it, and it was, you know, it was Will Ferrell doing stuff, but it wasn't. You know, it wasn't the Santa Claus. It wasn't.
Yeah.
All of those other movies that are, you know, it wasn't Home Alone, you know, targeted at kids.
And everyone's in it, too.
Every actor
is somebody.
Everything, you know, we're talking about a 10-year-old movie here. But it was very well done. I liked it. Very good Christmas movie. And I was trying to think, when's the last time they made a Christmas comedy aimed at adults? And the only other one I can think of is Scrooged.
Yeah, there's like Santa Claus.
But that's not really aimed at adults. It's really aimed for kids.
The Santa Claus?
Yeah.
With
Tim Allen.
Tim Allen.
Okay. That's really for kids. It's for parents to watch with their kids, but it's not really for adults. Like, there's no adult humor. There's no,
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't watched too many new Christmas movies. I keep going back to the old ones. You know, frankly, the classics are good enough for me. I want to thank you, Tech, for one thing you introduced me to, and I haven't caught up on it yet. That's Ruby.
Oh, Ruby, which is
Don't bring your tail to town. How's that song go? Anyway, which is an animated series brought by was Rooster Teeth Productions, I think, the same guys who did the
Red versus Blue,
which is a Halo thing, and it's I like it. I like where it's going, or like the interesting aspects of it, but I like the whatever the hell I just said there. I liked it, but I don't like the animation style as much. It's not full rich animation.
I love it.
It's a lower frame rate or lower style animation. It's not bad, and the story's interesting enough. I want to watch it anyway. It's all on YouTube, I think.
I love how all the unimportant people are just silhouettes.
Aren't they in your life too?
Well, they're done. It's done in a very tongue-in-cheek style, and they're poking fun of all the anime tropes.
Oh yeah,
which they do very well. Yes. You know, the little cutscenes, the rapid movement. They have their comedy moments that are very funny and very very anime. I mean, if you've watched any other anime show and then you watch this, you will notice what they're poking fun of when they do this, and they do it very very well. But the combat scenes and the physics and the engineering of the mechanical guns and the machinery they use is 100% the best I've ever seen in my life. I can hear you people in the background going, oh, there's no way it can beat Ghost in the Shell and Masamune Shiro, and he's the god. Yes, it is better. I'm telling you, it is that good.
Well,
as an engineer,
I would say Ghost in the Shell is apples and oranges, but yeah, they're
all No, I'm talking.
It's apple seed and oranges?
Strictly, the physics? Yes.
Strictly the mechanical animations of the machines and how they work. I am telling you, this is the best I have ever seen. And
better than Cat Bleep 1? I can't say the name of the bunny one on my podcast.
Cat Turd 1?
Yeah.
You can come up with the other word for yourself. Is a beautiful computer animated short. It's a half hour. It's a condensed, futurized version of a long running Japanese comic book of anthropomorphized animals with real guns. But that's real guns. It's they took, you know, like a real. The one rabbit uses an M14 MBR. The other one uses an AR modified to fire AK mags, and they have all these wonderful things with real ACOG scopes and real Schmittenbenders and real, you know.
When did he start speaking English? I don't understand.
In a minute. Just keep listening.
Okay. But it's all real stuff, and there's nothing fantastic about it. It's just a real gun being held by a cute little bunny rabbit with his ears flopped under his helmet, and it's really cool. His little tail twitches when he takes sniper shots, and it's cool. But Ruby has a scythe that turns into a sniper rifle, and then she will put her feet on the blade, fire the action, and kill one big bad monster with the shot, and use the recoil of the gun to fire herself spinning into a crowd of monsters and kill them out the other end, and that's just cool.
It really is. Now, I should mention that Ruby is RWBY.
Yes.
Red, white, black, yellow.
Yeah, red, white, black, yellow. Also, Ruby, Weiss, Blake and Yang.
Yes.
Are the main characters.
And these are the four girls, and there's a lot of not just anime tropes, but they play with a lot of fairy tales
yes.
in this. And that all of the major characters come from, or at least inspired by, fairy tale characters. So
Ruby
is
Red
Riding,
Riding
Hood, Yang is Goldilocks, Blake is Beauty and the Beast, Yang is Yang, I said, was Goldilocks, and Weiss Schnee is Snow White.
Mm, yeah.
Weiss Schnee being white snow in German, so...
The professor, the headmaster and one of the professors are tropes from Wizard of Oz,
Glinda Good Witch.
Good Witch, yeah, and I forget the headmaster's name, but it has something to do with the wizard. There's all sorts of little things in there. One of Tech's favorite characters is Jean d'Arc.
Yeah, John Dark.
Yeah.
And he's a guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's cool. I like the armor over the hoodie.
Yeah, that's really great.
And jeans.
The entire series would make a great cosplay. If you want to cosplay,
well, and
that's
in fact,
what
we saw at Anime Maritime, this is where we started to see all this stuff. There was somebody with the scythe.
Oh,
I was like, well, what the heck is that?
Yeah.
it was like a full 7 foot tall stud. So we were like, this is going to be something interesting. And speaking of that, there and consequently in Halcon, we were seeing all these people with these wings on their back, and they had these weird boxy things on their hips, and that was Rise of the Titans, Attack on Titan, which is another one I'm looking forward to looking into, digging into the graphic novel. Thank you, Tech. You gave me the graphic novel for Christmas.
I love how. The people are starting to cosplay things before they come out.
Yes.
Ruby hadn't even been released. They were still in the teaser trailers when we saw that at Anime Times.
That I love.
The summer.
Some of the other good series that have come out, Orange is the New Black, which is not sci-fi, but...
I don't hear about that.
It's a Netflix direct show, and it's based on the memoirs of somebody who went to prison and yada yada. Really good, lots of fantastic actors. The link to sci-fi is Kate Mulgrew is one of the main characters. She plays Red, a Russian woman in this prison, and she's amazing. This is the role she was born to play.
Well, to bring that back to sci-fi, Netflix this year signed an agreement with Marvel to produce four new series that are going to be coming out in the next 3 or 4 years. That are all somewhat minor Marvel characters are going to each get their own miniseries to combine together. So you've got Luke Cage, you've got Daredevil, you've got I'm trying to remember the other two characters. But basically, these are four minor characters who are basically the Defenders. They're the low level version of the Avengers to eventually tie in with that. And those are all exclusive series that are going to run on Netflix. And that's going to be an interesting experience over the next couple of years. That's something we're seeing more and more of. We've seen, I think, 4 or 5 exclusive series now on Netflix. House of Cards. There's another one I want to see. I haven't seen it yet. I forget the name of it offhand. It's a, I believe, a murder mystery werewolf story.
Yeah, it's not that great.
Oh, really?
I watched it. It's like Mulberry Drive or something. I don't know. It's got Femke, whatever, Jensen, I believe her name is, from...
Femke Janssen.
Yeah,
from
X-Men. Yeah. She played Jean Grey. I watched it. It's got a couple of interesting takes on the whole werewolf vampire thing. I don't even know how to describe it. It's very, very soap opera-y, and,
I believe that's soap opera-ish.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Getting technical there.
That extra season of Arrested Development they did was really good.
Yes, the last season of Arrested Development I really enjoyed. But no, that show, I mean, I'm sure there is a target audience for it. It just was too extreme for me with the soap opera stuff, and I'm not really sure where they were going with it. it's worth watching because they also bring in a whole Frankenstein thing in there, which is kind of neat. I wasn't exactly happy how the Frankenstein story ended, though.
For me, I'm just happy it exists. It's sort of the same thing with Kickstarter. Yeah. I'm not going to back you, but I'm really happy you exist.
Yeah.
We were talking about television. I mean, I've heard of so many television shows like Arrow and Once Upon a Time. And like, there's all these series that are coming out, all geek-oriented series that I'm not watching for some stupid reason.
Because you don't have television signal.
Maybe so. I know that on Netflix, the fifth season of Almost Human UK has come out now.
You mean Being Human?
Almost
Human's a different show.
Being Human, you're right.
Human UK, yep. The last season has dropped. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. I have not seen Being Human US. I really have no desire to. And since it's not on Netflix, I'm not going to seek it out.
It'll be on there eventually. I'm sure of it.
Misfits had their last season. I haven't watched the last episode because I'm saving it. Because once I watch it, it will be over. I really did enjoy that series.
I think that's been up for a while, right? Because I watched that series this year myself.
Yeah, Misfits has been out for a while. It's their last season was this year.
Okay.
Which I think is series 5, series 6, something like that. Yeah. So it went quite a while, and they replaced their entire cast, just like Being Human UK replaced their entire cast. But I do definitely enjoy watching things on Netflix. I like that model. I like, okay, we've got a new series. All the episodes are available to you. Of course, it means that I watched Orange is the New Black in 2 days. That wasn't very good for me, but it was good. It was a really good series. I found myself watching Skins this year, and I watched like 6 series, and I don't know why, but I'm seeing those actors pop up elsewhere, and yeah. Any other movies or TV shows?
Thor the Dark World came out recently. Which is a lot of fun.
Is that the sequel?
And that's the latest Thor movie. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's the other show that I've actually been watching. I should mention that one, which has been interesting. Following along with Agent Coulson and his merry band of agents who are going around and screwing things up around the world. They're not really that good. And the series is not yet that good, but I see some great potential. This is
Now, are the agents not good because they're not competent?
No,
or
they're
not
that,
grabbing your attention?
It's not fair to say that at all. The characters aren't really all that interesting to me yet. There's definitely some glimpses, and I see some things that are going to be on the horizon I'm really looking forward to. Agent Coulson is always fun to watch. There's something about his character that's always been magnetic, no matter what he's done on screen. There's a certain sincerity about it. There's a mystery they're building to. I just want them to get it over with and get the mystery. This is a series that I thought at first was Joss Whedon's series, but it's not. He's the executive producer. It's Jed Whedon's series. And
yes,
Marissa Tancheron.
Yeah.
And they are taking over. And they're both very good. They're very competent at the show. It's just that it's hard to figure out where the show fits in terms of where these characters are supposed to be. But I'm enjoying that. It had a brief crossover with Thor the Dark World. Ironically enough, the crossover was not so much actually there, so much as the week after they had even more of a crossover that didn't advertise, which is weird. Thor the Dark World was fun. It was, let's go beat some stuff up, and they beat some stuff up, and I was happy.
Yay. Yeah,
that's pretty much what I wanted out of the movie.
And Loki was snarky?
Loki was snarky. Loki was betraying and not betraying at the same time.
Awesome.
He had a wonderful return of Odin, played by
Anthony Hopkins.
Mr. Huge Head himself, yes.
Huge Head.
He has a huge head. Look at his head compared to any normal person. It is about 3 times the size of a normal person.
What would you rather have, $1 million or his head full of nickels?
Oh, man. I think his head full of nickels would be worth more.
Well, then that's the test. That's how you...
How do you think he can contain all of that acting talent?
He doesn't contain it. He lets it go and expresses
it. He's amazing.
All. So that was another movie you shouldn't miss in that, and the TV series as well. I've actually enjoyed it. I want to support it because I want it to get to the level of where I'm going to really super enjoy it. It's not quite there yet. I do enjoy it, but not you know, riveting yet. We could talk about this for like 300 years though.
Probably, possibly.
This year.
All right. Is there any other great things that have happened in this past year that we want to talk about before we move on to 2014?
Nope. There probably is, but I'm just not drawing anything at the moment.
Way too much has happened.
Oh, I know. Tech got an awesome present this year.
Mini Doc. I have to introduce you all to Mini Doc.
That is pretty awesome.
Mini Doc is cool.
There is a video of him unwrapping his present on my YouTube channel. That's the Nukechast YouTube channel, not the Nimlas Studios. It is a scale version of the Clockwork Doctor made as a fabric sculpture by Cynical Woman.
Thank you, Cynical Woman.
It was a special commission. If you need something awesome, I suggest hiring her because she's amazing.
And by fabric sculpture, what she really means is he's an action figure.
Mm. He's about 3 feet tall. Two feet tall, 18, 20 inches. I'm not good at distance.
Big teddy bear size, but he's a Clockwork Doctor, and he has a little beak mask, and it comes off, and he's got like a little suit jacket, and little boots, and little pants. He's just really, really cool.
And
he
says, "Yeah,"
and he gives everyone little miniature plagues that make you very sick.
And she got all the details right. I took pictures of his costume, and she added all of those details in, and it is amazing.
Even down to the proper shape of the harness for the gas mask canister, and then sewing sequins onto it to show where the buckles are, to get all the buckles in the right place, which is fantastic.
It was amazing. And she sent me pictures of the progress, which was fantastic. But Mini Doc, you will see him at conventions. He is quite amazing.
I'm really jealous. I am.
I'm jealous. I need a mini something of me. 2013 was great. I had a fantastic year. Nutty Bites, I believe, had a fantastic year. My listenership has swelled. I finally was able
There's probably a cream for that.
I finally got statistics working properly. And wow, there's a lot of you out there. So thanks for listening. Please send in any feedback that you want, segments that you want. I welcome anyone to come on the show. We do have the Facebook group where I have been posting a nutty question of the day most weekdays. And that has been really interesting and a great diversion throughout the day. It's like a mini nutty debate and all sorts of random questions. If you had a robot, what would the function that you would appreciate the most from your robot? You know, things like that. And for some reason, Emma Peel ends up being the answer for a lot of questions. Firefly always ends up in there, even when specifically said, excluding Firefly. Firefly still ends up in there. Sorry, Paul. it's fantastic. It's a lot of fun, and you'll get to meet some new people. So join that. That is facebook.com/group/nuttybites, I believe. Or is it Mixed Nutcase? I think it's Nutty Bites. Anyway, thank you very much. Enjoy 2014. And it's going to be awesome because the future is always awesome. This is Nukechast. Bye. You guys want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, Mark, you want to plug yourself?
Sure. You can go and catch me and some of my crazy thoughts and all the vantage point I have on weird news over at theweirdshow.com. I'm going to be aiming at a 300th episode at Balticon. That's what I told them I would do. I'm nowhere near that right now, and there have been a few episodes missing, but I'll be back into full swing in January. So if you like weird news, strange ideas, and odd views, go to theweirdshow.com. If you're looking for something along a musical bent, you can go to Caffeine. That's at encaffeinated.ca, or encaf.ca for short. That's where you'll find the regular music show that I do, semi-regular at the moment, as well as some of the other random thoughts and posts and things that I put up there. So I'll see you on the web. I'm otherwise known as NCAF1 just about everywhere. So if you see me there, say hi.
Tech.
Hi, I'm Tech. You can find me anywhere you find Nutty. I'm the guy who writes about physics and math and airplanes and guns and machines and
Mars
and plague doctors and everything else in between. I have a stalled NaNoWriMo project at 38,000 words, which is about a nonfiction book about a war on Mars. I'll let that sink in. Yes, a nonfiction book about a war on Mars. So we'll get there soon. If you want to see this, you can contact me. I'm on Twitter at TheClockDoc.
Underscores.
All underscores separating that. Or you can find me through Nimlas Studios. She'll know how to get a hold of me. But, if you want to see more Mars stuff, you want to see more gun stuff, you want to see stuff on machines, guns, machines, more machines, airplanes, whatever, let me know. I can answer your questions. It's what I'm here for.
All right. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye. Goodbye, everybody.
Remember machines. Goodbye.
Coming soon to a podcatcher near you, down below, a Babylon 5 intro cast. We will discuss each episode of Babylon 5, all the movies, and possibly its spin-off, Crusade. Find us on the web at downbelowpodcast.com, facebook.com/group/downbelowpodcast, and twitter.com/downbelowcast.
Music by Dino Doggin, Tiger Eats Funk. You can find a link to his SoundCloud in the show notes.
A little inside baseball here. The Nutty Bites feed is being switched from a feed burner feed to a self-hosted feed. Basically what that is I'm changing the RSS that iTunes grabs from and having it go from my own site. This shouldn't be a problem. You should still be receiving Nutty Bites episodes every month because FeedBurner should just redirect to the new feed. But if for some reason you're not getting Nutty Bites, please make sure you go to nimlass.org and make sure you resubscribe using the fresh RSS. It shouldn't happen, but just in case, don't worry, I'm not pod fading. There will be a new episode every month. Just make sure you resubscribe if that is the case.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlass Studios. You can find us at nimlass.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlass.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.